Hello, I'm John McNamara, the information architect for IBM Messaging, and I'm here today with Matthew White. Hello, Matthew, how are you?
Hello, John. Good, thanks.
Good, yes. Good. Now, Matthew, I understand that you are hugely into Java for MQ.
That's right.
What new and interesting things are happening now that we've got MQ V8 out the door?
Right. So one of the big things in MQ V8 as far as Java and, shall we say, the Java ecosystem is concerned, is that we have a new standard of JMS.
Oh, this will be the JMS 2.
Yeah, JMS 2, oh. Exactly. And what is particularly interesting is this is the first big update to the standard in pretty much now in a decade.
Fantastic. So what does that mean?
So JMS is the Java Enterprise messaging standard.
Right.
So it defines a well-defined API for sending data and getting data back.
Mm-hmm.
And it defines a bit of a state model, how you handle a few transactions and so forth. It doesn't define the wire protocol,
right,
which is a key thing about it. So it's how your application interacts with a particular messaging provider and how it handles some of the transactions.
Okay.
So the thing about JMS 2, as you said, it's the first update for quite some time because it has been very stable. There's been no need to really update it, but the world has moved on.
Right.
Things are a little different now. So we've got a new standard, and there's two halves to the standard. There's new, there's two big new things. So there's a few new different ways of sending and receiving messages, and there's some new APIs.
Oh, nice.
So those are the two big things.
So what's the benefit of this? What's the benefit to the end user of this stuff?
So the big benefit to a developer is we have a simplified API now.
Ah,
there's a
cool.
bit simpler to use than the previous one. There's a few less objects to deal with. There's a few nicer things to get going. It's a bit quicker. And it's a bit quicker to get access to your data as well. So there's a few less objects to deal with if you want to go that way. Bit of a rub that you've got to sometimes be very careful in your exception handling.
Okay.
Because if you're going to optimize, say, I know that string data coming over and Fred blogs in the next department is sending you a byte data, you ain't going to work.
Okay.
But assuming everyone's playing to the same standard, you're going to be accessing your data quicker, getting there quicker. Less lines of code, so that's great for rapid application development.
Top.
And so there's three new ways of dealing with your messages as well.
Ooh.
Which is probably worth just quickly
saying a bit about
those three.
Yeah.
There's a thing called asynchronous send.
Right.
So I can say I'm going to send a really large message, hand it over to the messaging system, let it get on with its sending, I can go do something else.
Okay, yeah.
So that could be handy if your application can work that way. You can also say, look, I want you to send this message, but I don't want you to send it just yet.
Right, okay.
Hang on to it for a bit.
Right.
Send in 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
Which could be useful. And there's a really interesting feature that, to be honest, certain vendors extend, and so some people have extended this way already, is in what's called the pub subdomain.
Mm-hmm.
So someone publishes to a topic,
yeah,
and I can say I want to subscribe from that topic. We can get multiple people subscribing at the same time. It's called a shared subscription. So this actually gives you a form of very simple load balancing. So you could have two different applications running in different Java virtual machines, accessing pretty much the same subscription, and the messages can be split between them. It gives you sort of a very simple form of load balancing, which some people may want.
Yeah, for sure. So, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so here's a biggie. So I've already got an application that I've had, which is legacy. Yeah. What kind of migration process will you need to follow for that application to use JMS2?
So JMS2 is really new APIs and new ways of working.
Right.
So a standard application won't really get any big changes in behavior.
Okay.
Okay. So there's nothing in JMS2 that says that this one feature, which the previous standard, is going to go differently.
Okay.
So an existing application would probably only notice a difference if they wanted to run on a new JVM, because JMS 2 needs Java 7. It needs a Java 7 runtime to work.
Okay, fair enough.
So your existing application may be kind of a Java 6, Java 5 maybe even.
Yep.
So you're going to have to come up to Java 7 to use JMS 2.
Understood. Are there any implications for using MQ V8 and Java with, say, app servers?
So as far as application servers are concerned, MQ has always produced what's called a resource adapter,
right,
which is the way of connecting in messaging to an application server of your choice. And we are still producing an RA.
Sweet.
The abbreviation for resource adapter. And so we can take the MQV8 resource adapter. Now the key thing here is that JMS2 is a constituent part of Java Enterprise Edition 7.
Okay.
So that means your application server needs to be of that standard, Java Enterprise Edition 7 certified. If that's the case, we can take the resource adapter we've got and put it into that server.
Okay, so I guess there's no issue then using WAS 855.
Well, with WAS 855, and what you have to do is WAS 855 actually comes preloaded with
nice.
An MQ resource adapter for your convenience and enjoyment.
Excellent.
It's already pre-configured with a resource adapter.
Sweet.
And that's how it's updated. And the key thing here is that resource adapter is able to connect back to any MQ in service release.
Okay.
So be that now MQ version 8, 7.5, 7.1, we can connect back. So you've got connectivity, you've got functionality. Your MQ version 8 queue managers aren't going to be ignored and stranded by your WAS server.
Nice.
So you've got connectivity there.
Cool. So, buddy, final question then. Have you done anything else with Java for MQV8?
There's a few smaller things we've done. JMS2 has been the biggie and is what we've focused on. But there's always been a concern that the way JMS handles what's called MQCSP structure, that MQ people will know from a security, not quite the same way as any other MQ application.
Right.
That's all been now standardised, so we behave the way MQ administrators expect us to behave, so that's really good. And obviously we've fixed a few bugs here and there.
Yeah, very
so
good.
That's
nice.
Good. JMS2 actually has a really strong TCK that's been updated, so we're compliant to that. And we've added a kind of a small utility that some people may quite like to control trace from outside of Java.
Ooh!
Controlling trace is kind of easy if you are the only application in the JVM. That's really easy to control system property.
Yep.
But there's so many frameworks now and so many ways of running Java where you're not the only person, you're not the only kid in the JVM. So you need to control our trace from outside. So there's a utility to do that.
That's sweet.
All very nicely documented in our new knowledge centre.
Oh, Ambassador. That sounds awesome. Well, that's phenomenal. Thank you very much indeed. And obviously we'll back this up with a hangout.
Absolutely.
Thanks, buddy. Take care, mate.
Okay, thanks, John.
Bye-bye.